Go with me, if you would, back to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings 5. For anyone who may not have ever heard the story of this man Naaman, this is a precious picture of grace. That's what this is. This is a picture of grace. This story represents salvation for sinners. That's what it represents. And it tells us who God saves. And it tells us how He saves them. Who He saves and how He saves them. And by the time we get to the end of the story, all you can say is, it's by grace. That's the end of the story. It's all by grace. Salvation is totally by the grace of God. The grace of God. Now let's look at this story together. Verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria." Naaman was a Syrian. The Syrians were a heathen people. They were a heathen nation. They were idolaters. They worshipped a false god. They didn't worship the true and living God. And the Syrians oppressed God's people. They fought against and they oppressed Israel, God's people. But verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria." Even though they were the enemy. All right, they were the enemy, right? But even though they were the enemy, God still gave them victory in their battles, including battles against Israel. God gave it to them. Now, why would God do that? The answer is good. That's the whole reason. Good. Grace. That's the whole reason. Why would God give the enemy the victory in battle? Grace. Goodness. Kindness. Verse 1 says, "Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." But there was just one problem. He was a leper. Big problem. He was a leper. That's the one problem that every soul on this earth faces. That is the one problem that every soul in this room faces. Every soul in this room. We may see ourselves and others may see us to be great men and women. Honorable. Men and women of valor. But every single one of us was born into this world covered from head to toe with a loathsome disease. Every one of us. It's called sin. It's called sin. After all the good things are said, all the things that can be said about us that are good things, when you get to the end of it all, you have to finish with this: but he's a sinner. That's where, when you start talking about Gabe Stonecker, everything he's done, everything he is, this is how you have to finish the story of Gabe Stonecker: but he's a sinner. He's a sinner. Verse 1 says, "Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was covered with a flesh-eating disease." Verse 2 says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." Syria went to war with Israel, and God gave them the victory. And then they took captive a little girl. They stole somebody's daughter. Can you imagine that? They literally stole somebody's daughter. Why on this earth would God allow that to happen? Why would He allow that to happen? The reason is because God purposed to show mercy to a soul. That's the whole reason. God purposed to show mercy to a soul. That was the means that He chose to use to show that mercy. He allowed that to happen. He did it for good. He did it for mercy. That's why God does everything. Everything He does. We're in the middle of situations all the time and we think, why is this happening? What is going on? I tell you the answer. Good and mercy. Grace, kindness. It's always the answer. We're never going to fully understand His ways. We are never going to fully understand His ways. But in time, He's going to prove to us. He's going to prove to His people that every single one of His ways are for the purpose of mercy and grace. Every single thing He does is for the purpose of saving a soul. Everything that happens in the earth happens to save God's people. Everything. Every single thing. Verse 2 says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. Why did God allow this little girl to go to Syria? Why did He allow her to go to Syria? It's because she knew who Elisha was. She knew exactly who Elisha was. Elisha represents Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. This little girl knew the one who could save. She knew Him. She knew what He could do. She had faith in Him. Verse 3 says, "She said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She didn't say, "I don't know. I mean, you know, it's worth a shot. Couldn't hurt going over there." She said, "He would recover him." If he went to see the prophet in Samaria, he'd be healed. He'd recover him. Let's not underestimate what our God is able to reveal to our children. Out of the mouth of babes. Let's bring them at a young age to hear about the man, Christ Jesus the Lord. The one who's able to recover sinners from their sin. The one who's able to restore what they've lost. She said, "Oh, I wish he could go see this man." Here this little girl is, stolen from Israel. Waiting on Naaman's wife in Naaman's house. And she knows Naaman's a leper. And she said, "Oh, I wish he could go see that man." Is that not the desire of every true believer? Is that not the desire, the groaning of our heart for our loved ones? Oh, would to God they could come see this man. Would to God. He would heal them. I'm telling you, He would heal them. That woman at the well, she dropped her water pot and she ran into town crying, "You all need to come see a man. You need to come see a man. He'll recover you." Verse 3, she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Naaman was told, There's a man who can heal you of your disease. Somebody told him that. And Naaman wanted that healing. He wanted it, so he decided to go see this man. Yes, I'm curious about this. Somebody hears about a healing. Yeah, I'd like to know something about that. I'm curious about that. I would rather have life than death. Which one would you rather have, heaven or hell? Life or death? I'd rather have life. I'll go hear what he has to say. That's the heart and that's the mind of most people when they start to realize at some point, men and women start to realize, I have an end coming. At some point, men start to realize, I'm getting older. This life is fleeting. I'm facing certain death. I know I am. All of us, we all have an end coming. So Naaman went. Here's what we're going to learn from this, though. He went the wrong way. He went the wrong way. Verse 5 says, And the king of Syria said, Go. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. This king represents the nature of a man. What is naturally inside here? Man believes he's a king in his own eyes. That's man's own rationale. He believes that he can bring his best before God and God will accept him. He said, I'm going to write a letter. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a resume. I'm going to give you a resume. I'm going to write down all your qualifications. I'm going to write down everything you've done. I'm going to tell him what a great man you are. How honorable you are. And isn't that what man does? Isn't that how in his heart he feels he needs to approach God? People naturally believe that in order to receive a healing, they need to put their best foot forward. Now we're going to go meet God. Let's all put our best foot forward. Put our best robe on. We got to hide some flaws. Bring our best gifts. We're going to try to make ourselves appealing. The fact of the matter is, in this flesh, all mankind is a sinner. But he's a sinner. But he's a leper. That's it. Just covered in sin. But Naaman came. He did come. Verse 6 says, And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. This king of Israel represents God's law. We're all holding it. God's law. Men and women want to be saved. Men and women want to be saved. What do you want to be? Saved or lost? I want to be saved. So where do they go? The law. Isn't that where they go? The law was never given to save anybody. Never. Never. The law was given to expose sin. That's what the law was sent to do. Verse 7 says, And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Now hold your place right here. We're going to come right back. Go with me to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 21 says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what we just read, what the law was saying, spiritually representing the law? Ye who desire to be under the law, you want to be saved? All right, let's get into this law. Let's see what this law says. You who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" Look back at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law," what that means is as many as are going to go meet God and say, "I've kept the Sabbath, I've honored my father and my mother, I didn't commit adultery, I never stole, I don't covet." Verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Miss one thing and you've broken the whole law. It's like getting a ticket in a 55 mile an hour zone for going 56. But 55 of those mile per hour were good. Yeah, but it was that one. You broke the whole law. That was the purpose of the law. Look at verse 24. Here's what the purpose of the law did. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was our schoolmaster to point us to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the law. The law condemns us. All we have to do is open the scripture and we can see we don't stack up. The law condemns us, and then the law points us to Jesus Christ. Points us to Christ. The law could never redeem us. Never redeem us. We were nothing but sin. The law can't redeem us because we're nothing but sin. Look with me at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 3 says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, it could not justify this flesh." It could condemn it, but it couldn't justify it. It could not justify it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's what Naaman is about to find out. That's what he's about to find out. Now go with me back to 2 Kings 5. Verse 8, let's read between the lines here, okay? Let's read between the spiritual lines. Verse 8, "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent," I'm sorry, verse, yeah, 8. "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God," and that's Christ, "had heard that the king of Israel," that's the law, "had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Does that at all remind you of the end of the story of Ruth? Do you know the story of Ruth? There was a nearer kinsman that represented the law. And at the end of the story of Ruth, that nearer kinsman said, "I cannot redeem her." And Boaz said,
then give her to me.
I'll redeem her. I will redeem her. Christ told the law, don't you fret. That law said, am I God to redeem a man? Christ said, don't you fret. You just bring him to me. Verse 8. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. When God calls a sinner, that sinner is coming. He's coming. Naaman went to the king of Israel. That little girl said, there's a prophet. Is that where he went? Nope. He went to the king of Israel. He went to the wrong man. His faith was in the wrong man. But when Elisha, in spite of that, said, come, he came. He's about to experience a rude awakening, too. He came and he's about to have his eyes open. Verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. He had his gifts. He had his robes, everything he brought with him. And he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. He sent a messenger out to him. Elisha is standing outside his house. Naaman is standing outside his house and Elisha didn't come out. He sent a messenger to him. And that's how God works. He sends a messenger out. And that messenger told him something. And do you know what his message was? You know what he basically said to Naaman? He said, Naaman, you're going to have to come down off your horse. You're going to have to get down off of that horse. You're going to have to get rid of all your gifts. Everything you brought. You're going to have to be stripped of your own covering. You're going to have to de-robe. You must acknowledge before God and man that you are a leper. Stop trying to hide anything from God. God sees it all. Humble yourself in the sight of God and then go wash in the river of Jordan. Our Lord was baptized in the river Jordan, wasn't he? That river represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is what unites a sinner to Christ and Christ to a sinner. That blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said 7 times. 7 is the number of perfection, absolute perfection. It is a perfect salvation. It is a complete and finished salvation. That is the message that will save a sinner's soul, amazingly. God's Spirit moves through that message and He calls His own to Himself. Look, though, how the flesh naturally responds to that message. Verse 11 says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. That's his problem, and that's our problem. He said, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Is the pride of man not amazing? Absolutely amazing. Here stands a leper. He's a leper. Here stands a man who is covered from head to toe in a loathsome disease. He is nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's all he is. He is so despicably contagious, nobody will touch him. No human being will touch him. He's a dead man walking. But in his pride and in his anger, he said, I deserve better than that. I deserve better than that. You give me something to do. You give me something that I can be glorified in. Give me some great honor to accomplish. Don't tell me to humble myself. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Man by nature will not have the blood of Christ alone. Will not have it. I don't want that washing. I want my own washing. I want to cleanse myself. I want to sanctify myself. I want to choose my own way. Man by nature does want salvation. He does. But he does not want it on God's terms. Isn't that right? The blood of Christ alone. But when grace comes, man, grace, let me tell you what grace is. Grace is in spite of a sinner. That's what grace is. A sinner is what he is before God. He's a sinner. He's a rebel. And God's grace comes in spite of it. Grace is so good. Grace is so kind. God's grace overrules that hard heart. It's God's grace that humbles a man. A man doesn't humble himself. God's grace humbles a man. God's grace makes that sinner bow. God's grace will make his people willing in the day of his power when it pleases God. They're willing. Naaman, he was full of anger, full of pride, full of self-righteousness, full of sin. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved Naaman, he dealt very graciously with him. That tells us how he deals with us. If we belong to him, if we are in Christ, if he's quickened us together with Christ, then by grace we're saved. By grace. Verse 13 says, and his servants came near and spake unto him. They spoke peace to him. And they said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? What they said was, why do you despise the riches of his grace? At some point, God's Spirit comes to this heart and says, why do you despise the riches of his grace? You know what those servants were giving him right there? A new mind. A brand new mind. A mind and a heart of repentance toward God. God said in mercy and in grace and in love, I'm going to take out that heart of stone, Naaman, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh in spite of you. I'm going to do something in you. Verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Man, what grace. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't you like to have been there to watch that dear, precious, rebellious man go down into that river, that perfect river? And when he came out, he was clean. That right there is sovereign grace. That's sovereign grace. That's particular grace. God chose him. And I'm going to show you why, okay? I was about to read this to you because I'm running long, but I'm going to take the time. You need to see it. Hold your place. Go to Luke 4. Go to Luke 4. This is God's grace right here. This is God's grace. Luke 4, verse 27 says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha." Elisha the prophet. "And none of them were clean." None of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. He chose Naaman the Syrian. There were tons of lepers. Who did God show grace to? That particular certain man. Sovereign, electing, choosing, loving, particular grace. Go with me back now to the text. I'm going to close with this. The Lord didn't just do a work on his skin. He did a work on his heart. Verse 15 says, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Before, he brought all his stuff trying to buy his cleansing. He brought all this stuff trying to buy it. Now he's clean. The cleansing is over. He's clean every whit. And he said, "Would you please take all this stuff? I just want to give it to say thank you. Oh, dear God, thank you. Please take all this stuff." This is, he said, "I acknowledge this right here is the true and living God who saved me. And I just want to say thank you." Verse 16. "But Elisha said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And Naaman urged Elisha to take it, but Elisha refused. Elisha said to him, What just happened to you, Naaman? Is free. Free. Salvation is free. It's absolutely free. Mercy is great. Grace is free. Absolutely free. Verse 17, Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant, be given to me, 2 mules burden of earth? Would you please give me 2 mules load of the dirt here so I can take the dirt from Israel back with me, the place of the true and living God? Can I take a token home with me? Because he said, Thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardoned thy servant." He said, "Oh, I'm asking for forgiveness on this, that when my master, the king of Syria, when he goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." He said, "Now I have to go back and live in the world. And I'm the servant of a master. And that master, I'm owed certain things to him. And he's going to want to go into his house of idolatry, and he's going to want to bow down to his false idol, and he's going to lean on me to help him get down, and I'm going to have to go down with him and help him bow down before his idol." He said, "Would you tell God I'm sorry? My body's bowing, but my heart is not. Please forgive me." Verse 19, "And he said unto him, Go in peace. Go in peace. Christ has made you free." God is looking on your heart. You're not under the law. He said, "You go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. He's going back home. Can you hear that man as he's going back home? You know what he was singing? "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so free." Let's all sing that together. Stand with me.